Welcome to the Strategy Session Podcast, where ASI's editors provide tips and tactics to help promotional product professionals improve their businesses. In every episode, we go one-on-one with a business strategy expert to gather winning insights. The conversations are sure to be insightful and entertaining.
Do you want to increase sales, exert influence, and build awareness in our always-on, web-driven world? If so, then keep listening. This is Chris Ruvo for ASI Strategy Session Podcast, and today I'll be speaking with David Meerman Scott, an internationally best-selling author and world-renowned keynote speaker who has spoken in more than 40 countries. David is a master of the new rules of marketing and PR in the digital age. He'll be sharing his experience-proven strategies as the keynote speaker at the ASI Show Dallas this January. Today, he's here to offer a sneak peek of his winning insights. Okay, so David, thank you so much for being with us today. Let's jump right into these questions if we can.
Hey Chris, it's great to be here. Thanks so much.
Thank you. All right, so you hammer home, this is something I found very interesting, that the rules of sales, marketing, and PR have changed. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was a vice president of marketing for several different companies, but that was back 15 years ago and longer. And at that time, when I was buying lots of promotional products myself for the companies that I worked for, hundreds of thousands of dollars worth, it was really hard to find the information that was required. You had to be at the mercy of the salespeople who were selling those products, either from the manufacturers directly or from the distributors. And it was difficult for me to find information. Today, that's completely flip-flopped, whereas before, it was the sellers who were in charge, either the sellers at the distributors or the sellers at the manufacturers who were dealing with me. Now, it's the buyers who are in charge, and the reason is because of the web. Buyers now have near-perfect information, and buyers are able to go on the web and find information about products, find information about services of any kind of product or service, but certainly in promotional products. So that means that the dynamic has shifted, and everybody within the industry needs to understand that.
Okay. All right. So in this new world that we're all operating in, what are some effective strategies that marketers can use to excel? How can you serve that new, very informed buyer?
Yeah. So I think what's really, really important is that we need to understand the different types of buyers that we work with. And I call them buyer personas. Mm-hmm. That's just the term I use. You don't have to use that particular term. But think of the different demographics of buyers that you're trying to reach. And how are they different? And then how can you figure out their problems and solve their problems for you? And ultimately, that will lead to the right kind of product that they might want to buy, or series of products. But you don't start with the product, you start with the buyer. So what I always recommend is that you figure out what are the 3 or 4 or 5 or even 10 different buyer personas that you're working with. So I'll give you an example from a completely different industry.
Sure.
If you think about the hotel business, and all of us listening on this stay in multiple hotels as we're all on the road, most hotels market based on the product, which is the hotel room, which is completely ineffective because it means that you're just comparing yourself against every other hotel. But if you instead were to market and sell a hotel property based on the buyers that you're trying to attract, that means the content of the hotel website and the way that people interact with potential customers completely changes. So here are 5 buyer personas in the hotel business. As an example, number one, an independent business traveler who makes a decision to go to, let's say Dallas, and then they make a decision based on their own needs. Maybe they want a really great health facility in the hotel, a fitness facility. Then you've got a family perhaps going on vacation to the Dallas area. Then you've got a couple planning on getting married, looking for a place to have a wedding reception. And how different is somebody who wants to get married who's looking for a wedding reception from somebody who's going to Dallas, say, for a vacation? And then you've got people who are planning a major event like the ASI show in Dallas. And, you know, your team had to deal with hotels to figure out what hotels do we want to put in, you know, hundreds of delegates for the event. Very, very different buyer persona. Or perhaps a company located in Dallas, for example, American Airlines is located in Dallas, and how can they get a hotel to get multiple people who come to visit their Dallas headquarters on a regular basis? All of those are different buyer personas. And I think the same thing is absolutely true for any industry. Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of understanding, how can I segment my typical buyers into groups of people that is how they are different. And then from there, I can create the marketing and sales strategies that will appeal to each of them and be able to talk with them on their terms. Now, that requires that you actually have to interview representatives of your buyer personas so that you can understand the words and phrases they use, the challenges they face. And what this ultimately will get people out of doing, which I see so often in this business, is getting out of simply competing on price. Because instead you're competing based on the fact that you know more information than the competitor because you've managed to understand deeply what their needs and challenges are.
Now that is, to me, that's it, fantastic executive level advice. Boots on the ground salespeople, as I might call them, should they be using the same types of strategies assessing buyer personas in that way?
Well, here's how it translates down from, say, a marketing team, which should be doing that who should be doing that kind of buyer persona research, to a sales team, who are the people who are implementing the strategies and talking with one individual buyer at a time. And here's how I see the difference. I think that ultimately it's content that drives the relationship between a buyer and a seller, because ultimately that's what's changed in the relationship in the last 15 or 20 years, is that now buyers can go to the web and they can research products and services on their own. So if you have the best content, then you're able to create a better relationship with those buyers. So here's how the difference is between a marketing team or sales management understands buyer personas from the perspective of reaching many people at once. So what they might do, for example, just as an example, is perhaps they create a series of YouTube videos, 20, 30, 40 YouTube videos, which provide valuable information for the group of buyer personas, or perhaps they create a blog, or perhaps they create an ebook with some information, or perhaps they create some infographics. But they're creating this sort of information which will be valuable for multiple people, and that serves to drive people into the sales process. But then, where it gets to be the boots on the ground is that a individual salespeople, individual customer support people who are working with one buyer at a time become curators of content. So what they get really good at is understanding that this particular buyer might be interested in this video, and that particular buyer should be sent this particular infographic. So in a sense, the salesperson becomes an incredibly valuable resource to the buyer of providing information just in time, just right information, exactly what they're looking for, so that they don't even need to go to Google to do the search, that the salesperson is on top of it and sends them exactly what they need when they need it.
That's fascinating how you map that out and how that can play out in the real world, because we hear some of these terms often, but I think sometimes there's some fogginess maybe about how that actually looks when it's implemented. And I think that's great how you laid that out. And
thanks. It does require coordination, though. And most organizations, it's difficult for them to get that coordination because it requires those marketing people or the executives on the sales side to be committed to creating the content that's required. But then it also requires the salespeople to do something a little bit differently than they're used to doing, and that is be effective curators of that content. So getting people what they need at exactly the right time.
All right, and it sounds like there's an element of speed, if you will, that's associated with that, because I was reading through your site and you talk about the importance of being agile. Can you explain what that means for marketers and business development executives, being agile in the new marketplace?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's start with business development executives. From the perspective of people who are working with one buyer at a time, frequently they might be juggling multiple opportunities to purchase a particular product. Maybe they're dealing with multiple distributors. And as such, the challenge is, how do you compete not on price? How do you compete in other ways? And one way in particular that's incredibly powerful and is kind of misunderstood is to be the quickest to respond. And so what that means is that you're always on. You're always waiting for somebody to ask a question or probe you, or if they send through a lead and you're responsible for following up on that lead. It means you do it right now. Not an hour from now, not tomorrow morning, but right now, like right this moment. Mm-hmm. You know, literally put down the sandwich and respond. Mm-hmm. Because in today's hyper-quick world, many times the fastest is the one who wins. Mm-hmm. Actually, Harvard Business Review did a study where they learned that if you respond to a sales lead within 1 hour, mm-hmm. you're seven times more likely to close that sales lead.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I know, it's speed and agility is incredibly powerful. And why is that the case? Because if somebody's evaluating service providers to provide them with a product or service, or in this case, provide them, say, with a quote on a particular set of promotional products or advice on what products might be valuable for their particular meeting or what they need to do, then if they're talking to four or five different people and you're the first one to get back to them, in the back of their mind, that buyer is saying, wow, this guy's, or this woman or this man is really fast to respond. That means they're likely to fulfill my order on time. It means they're likely to get me my materials in time for when I need them. And I think I can trust this person. They may not even actually think that.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's subconscious.
Right, sure.
But they do feel like they're being paid attention to in a way that the person who gets back to them, you know, 24 hours later, 36 hours later, it doesn't have that same feeling of urgency. And even if another supplier is a little bit more expensive, you know, a couple pennies per product or something, mm-hmm. that's not going to matter. They're going to go with the one that's fastest. That's proven out time and time again in the research that I've done.
That's really interesting. And, you know, speaking of companies, and it could be from within the industry or beyond, of course. Can you give an example of one or two brands that are just really succeeding in this new marketplace with what I might call a revolutionized sales marketing approach that kind of hits all these points that you've discussed so far?
Yeah, so I wanted to highlight three, mm-hmm. and they're completely different businesses and very, very different from the business in our industry. So the three are MeUndies, which is an underwear company, American Airlines, mm-hmm. and a company called HubSpot that's a software company.
Sure, yeah.
Let me spend just a minute on each.
Okay.
So MeUndies, they sell men's and women's underwear online. And what's really interesting about what they've done is they've made buying underwear an experience online. Whereas underwear for most people is kind of like a commodity. It's like, oh, geez, I need underwear. Mm-hmm. Go to the local, discount shop or just go to Amazon, buy a box of six underwear, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. They've actually pioneered a new subscription model for underwear. And they have things like exclusive underwear that you can only get if you buy it right now. And they've got some really fun, interesting patterns that you would never be likely to experience. Now, I've been buying, I'm 56 years old. I've been buying underwear since I was a teenager.
Right?
And I've been buying underwear for 40 years.
Right.
And I never, ever got excited about buying underwear until last year when I found these guys.
Sure.
And it's really, really interesting because it's a commodity product. It's something that for most people is incredibly boring, but they're growing like wildfire because they've figured out a way using their exclusivity, using their subscription model, using their the fact that if you don't buy now, you're going to miss out on the new pattern to really sell a lot. So from the perspective of learning from a different kind of company, I think they're really fun. The second one, American Airlines. Now, here's why I think they're really interesting. I'm a customer of American Airlines. I've flown 2 million miles with American mm-hmm. Airlines. I'm also active on social networks. I've got 130,000 followers roughly on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And American Airlines knows me as both of those personalities, as one of their best customers, executive platinum for 10 years in a row, 2 million miles, but also as DM Scott on Twitter, who's very active with what they're doing. They've actually triangulated that data, so they know me as both of those people, but at the same time. And that's extremely rare.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot to be learned from all of us to understand how you can triangulate how somebody is active in social networks as well as how they are your customer. So if you can understand and follow your customers using social networks the way American Airlines does, and then know that that same person who is DM Scott on Twitter is also this particular frequent flyer number, there's all kinds of magic that can happen in the way that you treat those particular customers. Mm. And I think there's very few companies that do that. There's very few companies that would understand that, where a salesperson might understand, oh my God, my client just tweeted that they have they're planning a new trade show coming up in July of 2018. They didn't tell me that mm-hmm. yet. I should get on the phone or email right now and say, hey, I see you got that new trade show coming up. Can we help you organize some promotional products around that? And that client will be dumbfounded if you do that. But almost nobody does that.
Right.
And it's such an incredible opportunity to follow and understand who your buyers are, individual buyers are, on social networks, because you can learn so much. And I think that frequently they'll appreciate the fact that you're on top of what they're doing. The third example is a company called HubSpot. They're a B2B software company. They mm-hmm. provide marketing automation software, and they've built their whole business over the last 10 years around creating amazing content. So they've got a video series, they've got a podcast, they've got incredible blogs, they do infographics.
Mm-hmm.
So they do many of the things that we've talked about over the last 15 minutes or so, and they've done it in an incredibly successful way. So I would point to those three companies.
All right, great stuff. And we talked about companies that are doing things right. What are some mistakes that brands and marketers really have to avoid in the new business landscape?
Well, what I think a lot of companies are doing is they're focusing too much on what they do mm-hmm. and what they sell, and not enough on the buyers. You know, we talked a little bit earlier about understanding buyers really deeply and understanding their motivations, understanding the words and phrases they use, the language they use. And that's really rare in today's environment of the ways that people market and sell, because most companies market and sell in an egotistical way. It's like, here's what we do. Here's our products. Here's how we can help you. You know, that stems from the old advertising mentality that worked for 50 years until about 10 years ago. Advertising doesn't work so much anymore because buyers are in charge. Mm-hmm. You know, because of Google and because of the availability of information in places like Amazon and others, which is the simple reality, it means that it's much tougher for organizations to break through. And you're not going to break through if you're only talking about what you do. Mm-hmm. You will break through, however, if you talk in a way that you're focused on the buyers. So I think what's really important for brands to change, the mistake they make is they focus too much on themselves, too much on their products, too much on their services, and not enough on the people they're trying to reach.
Great, great point. Last question here, and thank you so much for being generous with your time.
My pleasure.
Just of everything we've discussed today, what are the two most important takeaways that listeners should kind of put into action right away?
I think what I would focus on first, and this is going to sound like a repeat, but I do think it is the most important thing, is to really deeply understand what I call your buyer personas, to deeply understand the people that you're trying to reach in a way that you can almost anticipate their needs. Mm-hmm. So rather than selling a product or service, you're selling the fact that you understand their problems and their challenges. That comes from a deep understanding by interviewing those people. And that's a focus from the top down. It's a focus from the marketers. It's a focus from the business development people as well. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing, we've also talked about this, but I want to repeat it again just because I think it's that important, is the importance from a BD development, a BD perspective, of speed and agility, of being quick, of being responsive, of being of having the understanding that in today's world, I can buy a product on Amazon in like 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. I can find product information by going to Google in 30 seconds. And that means people are trained to expect that they are going to get a fast response, yet many salespeople don't respond quickly enough. Tomorrow morning isn't quickly enough. Mm-hmm. This afternoon isn't quick enough. What's quick enough is right now. Mm-hmm. And that is an absolute requirement in today's world, is to respond right now. And I'm looking forward to actually sharing some very specific examples around these things. I'm speaking at the ASI Show Dallas in January. I'm really looking forward to that. And I've got actual examples of many of the things we've spoken about over the last 20 minutes, and I'm going to share.
Well, we're looking forward to that for sure. And as David mentioned, he's going to be at the ASI show in Dallas in late January. And we're looking forward to hearing those strategies and more examples, because this was very insightful, David. And we just appreciate you coming on with us today at the ASI Strategy Session podcast. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Chris. Thanks so much for having me on.
This has been the latest episode of ASI's Strategy Session podcast. To listen to all of our podcasts, go to asicentral.com/podcast.